Morning, everyone. My name's Brian Stewart. I'm one of the members here and one of the preaching team. It's my pleasure to take this baptismal service this morning. And I know what you're all wondering. Why are you dressed like this? I just want you to know that these are not the most expensive shoes I've ever bought. They were $3.99 out of, where was it, dear? In fact, I remember you bought them for me, now that I think about it. Anyway, isn't it great that we can come to church and it doesn't matter what you wear? It doesn't matter what you wear coming to church. Within reason, of course, we all understand that. But it doesn't matter. Clothes are not important to God because God looks at your heart. It's your heart that matters to God. But it's my pleasure to lead this baptismal service. Welcome to you if you're a guest this morning. It's a pleasure having you here. I'm looking forward to being involved with Trevor baptizing Jim and Dan, who have taken this decision. Sometimes it takes a lot longer for people to come to that decision. Some people it's very quickly. And what I'm going to do this morning is introduce a story where it was very quick. And this is to do with the Ethiopian eunuch. So I'd like to read this, but before I do, let's all pray and ask God to just speak to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Thank you for this baptismal service. And we pray, God, that you will speak to each one of us in very specific, particular ways, that we will understand just how much we are loved by you, just how much you care for us, and just how much you want to be actively involved and engaged in our life. So, God, we commit this service to you, particularly Jim and Dan, as they take this profession of faith in a public environment, that they are committed to following you. So come with the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll have a short message, then we'll have the baptisms, and there'll be some worship songs just to allow us the time and opportunity to get into the tank, etc., etc. I think Children's Church and some of the older children are going to join us, so I've got to get the timing right in here. So someone's going to flag them up, and someone's going to wave at me if I'm too long. So we'll make sure that they get the opportunity to come in at some point. Let's read the Ethiopian eunuch. This comes from Acts chapter 8, just after Paul, who's one of the apostles that wrote most of the New Testament just after he was converted. But here we have an incident where we've got one of the evangelists in the New Testament. We've got Philip, who has been guided by God to go and speak to someone who is a very significant person in another country. So let's read the story. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I want to pick up just on a few things in that passage, particularly about baptism, but also how people come to the position where they need to be or want to be baptized. I heard a story during the week when I was preparing of a mum and dad that took their little girl to see the first baptism that she'd ever experienced. And as the person was put in the water and put out, the little girl turned around to the dad and said, "Dad, why is that man pushing and shoving that man under that water?" He said, "Okay, we'll tell you later, we'll tell you later. That's a shame." She was quite upset about it. So when they got home, mum and dad tried to explain to her. I said, "Look, this is about them committing their life to Jesus. What they are really doing is they're going under the water and then coming out because their life has now changed. They're not being a bad person anymore. They want to live to be a good person." And the little girl said, "Well, that's really amazing. Why didn't they just spank him rather than baptize him and shove him under the water? And then he'd be a good person." The point of that is, it's so easy to misunderstand and misinterpret what baptism really is about. So this morning, if you're wondering why Jim and Dan and others, because many people in this church are being baptized, how did we ever get to this stage where we say, "I want to be baptized"? How did we get here? Well, I think this story helps us understand what happens in people's lives to lead them to the position where they say, "I want to be baptized for Jesus." So the background, as we know, Philip, one of the first church officials, one of his giftings was to serve people, but the most important gift he had was to share the good news, as the Bible's called, about Jesus, about what Jesus can do for people in their lives. So what's the first thing that we can learn from this little passage? It's this, and if you've got your notes, you're welcome to take these notes. You can do what you wish with the booklet, but if you write these down, they might help you understand a little more about baptism. First thing is this: God prepares hearts. Leading up to baptism, God prepares hearts. Here we met with an Ethiopian eunuch. You'll be interested to know what that word means. Eunuch means castrated. Oh, I can see all the guys sitting there on the chair. It means castrated. Or it means someone who's not married. The actual root of the word in Greek really means sleeps alone. Not on their own. Not with anyone else. They sleep alone. So we're talking here of people who've made a commitment not to be married, to commit their lives to something else. Now that makes sense in this case because here we've got an Ethiopian treasurer. In other words, it's the equivalent of the Chancellor of the Exchequer of the UK. This is a significant person who would probably have taken the oath not to be married, not to get castrated, but not to be married. So what we find is that he's gone up to Jerusalem. And we also find that he's reading the Bible. Now, we're seeing here that there's something in his heart that is seeking for God. Seeking for the truth, seeking after something which will be meaningful in his life and not superficial. There's a hunger going on. So here's what we learn, and that is this. God is preparing people, even maybe here this morning, to hear about Jesus. And it's not up to you to prepare someone's heart. You might have engagement, as we're about to see, but really God is at work in other people. Second thing is, God is at work in people who are significant. People in important positions that you think God's never going to reach. God can touch their hearts, and he prepares their hearts. Okay, the second thing. God creates opportunities to hear the good news. God creates opportunities to hear the good news. So we see that God has been working in the Ethiopian eunuch's heart. And then we find that the Holy Spirit guides Philip to go along beside him. In other words, God is creating an opportunity for the Ethiopian to hear something about Jesus Christ. It's all about timing. It's all about getting alongside someone that God has already prepared. And normally, God's at work in that person's life, and God brings you into that person. So we find here that he's listening to where the eunuch is. He hears him reading the Bible out loud, because that's what they did back then many times. He is gauging what's going on. He's not ramming it straight down his neck. He's not forcing the gospel message. He's listening to where the eunuch is and then understanding how he should now go about approaching the eunuch. And sure enough, the timing is perfect. The timing is perfect. And then he gets the opportunity where the person says, well, the eunuch opens up and says, yeah, I need this explained to me. I want to know what this is about. And then he goes on to explain, we believe, the good news of Jesus. He takes this passage in Isaiah, which is a prophecy about the Messiah, the person promised by God to come into this world. He takes that message and says, this is Jesus Christ. And goes on leading through that passage to point to Jesus. And say, well, this person here is actually God himself who comes down into earth, who then lives a life to show you how God wants people to live, who then goes to the cross to take your sin and my sin upon himself so that you do not need to feel guilty about the badness in your life, that you do not need to know, you don't need to basically drive yourself into despair, that God actually loves you, that you can be forgiven, that you can be given new life, that when you die, you can be resurrected, that you can have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life right now to live a life for God, that you do not need to be alone. The eunuch, isn't that interesting? A living a life on your own. You do not need to be alone is the message that's coming to him, that God loves you and forgives you. You can have hope, you can have a purpose, and you can understand that God will help you. Is that what you want, eunuch? And he's obviously said, absolutely. This is what I want in my life, to be forgiven. There's a time for us to listen to where people are in respect of their life. And it's all about timing. It's all about weighing up and listening to what people are saying, how they're going about their lives, what they're thinking. It's all about getting close to them. You see, Philip got close to the eunuch. We need to get close to people because God's already preparing their heart for the good news that Jesus loves them. And when your timing is perfect, you pick up where they are and you start to share with them about Jesus being your Savior, about Jesus making a difference in your life. And maybe that's you this morning, that you've never really heard the good news. And you know that deep, deep down, somewhere in here, you need and you want and you just wish that God was real. God makes a difference if you'll open your heart. God makes a difference. So it's clear that he has committed his life and said, I want this. And Philip has also shared with him about baptism. And what baptism signifies, and we're going to pick up on one or two of these, but clearly baptism follows someone professing faith in Jesus Christ, saying, God, I'm going to follow you. I recognize what Jesus has done on the cross for me personally and for others, but for me, and I know that he can wash my sins away. All the beatings that he took in this life were for me. I don't need to be beaten up anymore. I don't need to beat myself up anymore. All of these were beaten on the cross so that I didn't need to have it anymore. And if that's you and you invite Jesus into your life, you can be forgiven. And when you're forgiven, your life changes and the Holy Spirit comes and lives within your heart and you live a new life. So baptism clearly follows faith. So what I want to do now is just highlight just one or two little things about baptism. Baptism is symbolic. It follows faith, but it's symbolic. In other words, you do not need to be baptized. to be a Christian. But you do it anyway because it is symbolic and is important and it's a command of Scripture. But you do not need to be baptized to go to heaven. In fact, a good example is the criminal on the cross. When Jesus said to him, "Believe me, you are going to be in paradise today when you die," he didn't get baptized. So it's clear that this is a symbolic event to demonstrate something in your life. So baptism, the word baptizo, the Greek verb, means to submerge. It means to dip. The common example I like is that if a ship sank in the sea, the ship was baptized. It was completely submerged. When people used to take clothes and dye them in water, you put the clothes right underneath the whole water. They were being baptized. So baptized means to go under the water. What does it symbolize? Here's the first thing. It symbolizes a person dying with Christ. You see, Jesus took your place and my place in death, that we did not need to die in the future. Physically, we will die, but spiritually, we will be alive. So when someone goes under the water, they are symbolizing that they are lying flat in the grave, that they are dying just as Christ died. If you remember, Christ was laid in a tomb flat. That's his death. We are symbolizing that we are dying with Christ. He's taken our position, and we recognize that we are dying with him. Second one is, we're dead to our old life. We are dead to our old life. I just use my example as an example before I became a Christian. All the things I did, which I knew were wrong, and I felt guilty about. All the things that I continued to do, and I won't go into them, but you understand where we all are in doing these things. They were things which displeased God. They were opposite to what God wanted in my life, and yet I continued to do them before I knew him. And what I'm saying is, okay, God, now that I'm following you, I'm going to turn my life around. So I am dying. I'm symbolically dying to my old lifestyle, which was disobedience to God. So the third thing is, I'm rising to new life. So when someone's being baptized, when Jim and Dan are being baptized, I'm trying to work out which way you're going here, but if you're going back, you are dying with Christ. You are dying to your old lifestyle, which was disobedience to God. And when you're coming up, you are rising, you're resurrecting to a new lifestyle, which is obedience to God. You're rising up to that new lifestyle. And fourthly, this is symbolic, and it's symbolic about washing your sins completely away. That your sins are completely forgiven. I tell you, see, when I first became a believer, the weight and the guilt of all the things that I did wrong in my life, it was unbelievable. The sense of having that load taken off me, that I didn't need to feel guilty and I didn't need to feel ashamed anymore. And this is symbolic of the fact that that can happen to you. That when you become a Christian, you symbolically have all your sins washed away and you're rising to new life, and it's a life that you're going to commit to Jesus. And lastly, it's a sign of obedience. It's a sign of obedience. In 2005, some of us will remember the Katrina hurricane that came across Florida and Louisiana. And I heard there was a story of a single house being left standing and everything else around it absolutely torn to shreds. And the man was out in the garden just cleaning up the muck, and a reporter went up to him and said, "This is incredible. Why is your house the only house that is standing and all the other houses are demolished?" And he goes, "Well, this house here, I built this house. The other people around me didn't build their house. I built this house. But what I did was I went and looked up all the regulations on the building of a house which would withstand storms. And I put in everything that it detailed about severe storms, about the size of the nails, the particular wood, the concrete, the size of the foundations. I put them all in place. You see, I was obedient to the regulations which were required for that house to stand the storm. So there's something about when you follow Jesus, you are being obedient to the foundation of Christianity. And that is, if you want your life to stand up to the storms, baptism is one way of you saying, okay, God, you're in my life. My foundation has completely changed. The way in which I'm building my life and constructing my life, I'm putting it in you, and I'm getting baptized to demonstrate it to everybody else that my life has completely changed, and I am now being obedient to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus got baptized himself, not because he needed to, but because when he became God, became man, he wanted us to see that because he got baptized, it was being obedience to what God wanted every human being to do when they came to know Jesus as their Savior. It's an exemplar of you saying, I've committed my life to Jesus. In Acts, also, when Peter was preaching to all these people, after the sermon, he said, be baptized. In the Greek, that is a command. It's an imperative. In other words, when you become a believer, you're expected to be baptized, not because anyone's forcing you, but because it's something in your own heart you want to do because of all this symbolism. So where are you this morning? Do you want to identify a new life with Jesus? Well, the reality is baptism is open to anyone who professes faith in Jesus Christ. And it is about timing. I understand. I'm not daft. There are some people that take 10 years to come to that decision. There are some people that take a few days. In fact, in the New Testament, the shortest period, the longest period of time between someone believing and someone being baptized is 3 days. And that was the Apostle Paul. And that was the exception. Back then, I understand it was the culture. Here, our culture's a little different. But maybe God is putting it onto your heart this morning that, you know something, I want to be obedient. And there is blessing in obedience. There's something spiritually tangible, if you understand that one. Not physically tangible, but spiritually tangible when you get baptized. I tell you, see, when I got baptized, I was in cloud nine for about a week and a half. I understand it's, you know, it's up and down a little, but there is blessing. God's presence is given to you in a very intimate way a lot of the time when people get baptized because you are being obedient to them. You're making a profession. You don't care what people think. You want to follow Jesus. And that is being obedient to God. So where are you this morning? Do you want to be baptized? Maybe you've never even thought about it. If you do, after the service, come and have a chat with me. There's no pressure. We're not going to force anyone. They are not forced. Jim and Dan have never been forced. In fact, when they came to the baptismal session that I was running, I told them, please, don't be baptized because I said so. Don't be baptized because your parents tell you. Don't be baptized because your friends tell you. You be baptized because you want to do it. And you want to be obedient to God. And you want to live a life. And you want to tell people that your life has completely changed. Even if it was 10 years ago or 20, you want to tell them. And Jim and Dan said, within a matter, Jim immediately said to me, I want to be baptized. And I know Dan was sitting there going, I want to be baptized, but I wanted to give him a bit longer. But they had no reservation in saying, I want to be baptized. My life has changed and I want to symbolize this in baptism and I want to follow Jesus. So if you are in that category and you want to be baptized, then come and have a chat with me or a chat with one of the leaders and then we'll take it on from there. But there is no pressure in any of that. Well, we've come to the time now where we're going to get the baptism. So I think we need to get the children's church up, if we can. And I'm going to invite the band to come up because we might be playing some songs and hymns during the baptism itself. So I'm going to invite the band up and we're going to get the children's church up. But while we're doing that, I'm going to invite Jim and I'm going to invite Dan to come up and join me up at the front. because we want to have a little question time about why are you being baptized? Why are you being baptized? So, if I can get this on, is it on, John? Well done. Okay, Jim, you've taken this important step after a period of time, so we want to ask you, and if you can tell everyone here, why is it you want to be baptized?
Well, Brian, the reason is because I've believed in God all my life. I was baptized a Catholic. I grew up in the Catholic faith for 55 years. Today, I'm replacing that with another faith, a faith in God. Because, as I told you in a couple of Fridays ago, I'm an ex-alcoholic. And I believe that God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, which was get sober. This year, I'm 17 years continuous sobriety.
Whoa.
Since God came into my life, I've never wanted or needed to take a drink again, apart from Iron Brew.
I hope it's not the sugar diet Iron Brew, but...
it's the real deal.
So you went along to Alcoholics Anonymous, did you? And can you tell us a little bit what happened immediately after you made that commitment?
Yeah. It wasn't me who phoned up Alcoholics Anonymous. It was my sister that phoned up. Because if it had been done to me, I wouldn't have been near it. Because my mother died before I got sober. But my sobriety date and her belly button birthday, which is our original birthday, is the 19th of July, and that's the day I got sober. And I don't believe in coincidences.
Absolutely not. Jim, thank you very much. A round of applause. Okay, Dan. Ooh. I hope your mum and dad never pressurise you into doing that. Okay, Dan, do you want to give us a quick summary of why you're getting baptised today? You can take the mic. And if you're too long, I'll stop you.
That's fine, I've changed sides. I'm expecting to get my testimony.
That, you go ahead, you do what you want.
Well, the reason I want to get baptised today is I want to take the next step in my relationship with God by making a public statement. I also want to show God that I'm making a commitment to follow him through thick and thin, though I'm aware that I'll always fall short, but with his strength that he provides, anything is possible. Yeah, that's me.
that's the short bit.
You're welcome to read that if you wish. You're welcome to read that, because I think people sometimes want to know a little bit more.
Well, as some of you may know, I've been brought up in a Christian family. I've attended church for as long as I'm able to remember. I made my first commitment when I was 5 years old. I accepted him into my life. And what that meant to me at that stage was that one day I'd be in heaven. But, terrible. But obviously, at the time I was young, and I still am young, but I'd not come across any major trial or persecution. For a period of time, I struggled to read the Bible. I would have lots of excuses. Then one night, I felt a draw towards God, and I started to read my Bible. And as I did so, I realized how much I'd been leaving out of my life. Oh, lost again.
Take your time. There's no harm. Just take your time if you wish. You can stop it wherever you want as well.
Thank you. And yes, yeah, so I'd been prioritizing other earthly things over him. I've jumped over. Sorry, guys. I'm making
it's
a real
okay.
mess of this.
There's no pressure. You should read my handwriting. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, so spending time with God made a massive difference on my life and how I interacted with people, It also gave me a desire to continue reading and to draw closer to God and experience his love. It also gave me the courage to tell other people at school about God's love, mercy, and compassion. Yep, that's me.
Well done. Thank you very much. We've now come to the point where we're going to baptize you. It's a privilege to have Dan's dad, Trevor, doing the baptisms as well. And this is the point where we've got to remember to get everything out of our pockets. And I've got to take my watch off as well. I believe the band are going to play while we take the opportunity of going into the tank.